Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. This is going to be a fascinating half hour. I can promise you that. I think you're going to find it amazing. You know, in these difficult times and uncertain times, many folks turn to the metaphysical world to find meaning. Although skeptics may dismiss it, may dismiss it as being a little too woo-woo. Mediumship is one practice where individuals can find answers to their questions about the afterlife through a connection to their loved ones on the other side. Our guest today is someone who helps people in that realm. Her name is Mary Ellen Hettinger. She is an evidential medium, a certified angel guide, a psychic, and she's an animal communicator at heavenlyvisitors.com. That's her website, heavenlyvisitors.com. If you're listening to Mary Ellen or you want to get in touch with her, that's where you're going to go to find out more about her and how she can help you if you want to get in touch with her direct. She's an award-winning reporter, has had that career for some 40 years, a professional communicator. She discovered her communication skills extended to the afterlife only 8 years ago, after an incredible career that she's had, where she is able to talk to and see dead people, is really the best way to put it. She says her passion and purpose is to bring comfort and joy to people, especially those who are grieving, by giving evidence that their loved ones on the other side are still with them and that love never dies. Not only that, she acts as a bridge between the spiritual world and the physical world. Her heartfelt, evidence-based messages of hope can help bring a lot of comfort and closure to those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And another pretty amazing aspect of her mediumship is that all of her consultations, obviously, are on the telephone. She can connect with people all around the world. She also can communicate with animals, which I find pretty fascinating. Well, let's face it, it's fascinating to communicate with people on the other side as well as animals. So that's something really unique. We're going to talk to her now. She's based in Greensboro, North Carolina, and a fascinating lady, and I think you're going to find this really enjoyable. I learn when I talk to folks like this, and I totally believe it. So let's join her. Mary Ellen, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
I am great, thanks, and hello from the other side.
Hi. I love that, because if you go onto your website, that's almost the first thing people see. Hello from the other side. Welcome to Heavenly Visitors. It is a great website, by the way. Congratulations on that. Let's talk a little bit about, before we get into what you do by communicating with people on the other side, which I find fascinating, and I'm sure everybody does. A lot of people, of course, don't believe it. They think there's nothing to it. But I have talked to enough folks who communicate with people on the other side. I believe it. I think it really does work. You have to tell me a little bit about how you discovered your abilities to do this just, recently in your life, 8 years ago. Talk a little bit about how it happened, if you don't mind.
Exactly. Okay? Well, first, I want to thank you, Doug, and Blog Talk Radio for this opportunity. This is a lot of fun for me. When I grew up, I realized I've always been an empath, which is someone who feels other people's emotions. And when I was a kid, sometimes I knew things intuitively, although I didn't understand what that was at the time. But now, as an adult with children, I thought, okay, it's mother's intuition. But I'd always been fascinated by the idea of a sixth sense, and as a reporter, I love to interview psychics or paranormal investigators, animal communicators, again, never imagining that I could do this. But one day I went to see a psychic myself, Julianne Gadziella of New Hampshire, and as I walked into her office, she said, "Oh, you're one of us." What? And she gave me some oracle cards to read intuitively and invited me to her class for emerging mediums. And the very first class, you know, I went, I thought, I've got nothing to lose. But the very first class, I brought through a classmate's grandmother. And as I'm sitting there opposite him and I'm describing this woman I see over his shoulder with her hand on his shoulder, and she's got gray hair and glasses, and the left logical side of my brain says, well, most grandmothers, you know, have glasses and all this. But the whole experience was so incredible to me. And he acknowledged everything I was saying was right, including some expressions I was using. She was French-Canadian, some expressions I was using that were what things she would say. But like I said, it took me a while to wrap my head around the fact that I could do this. And in fact, I did not tell my husband, and we've been married, and he's been putting up with me now for 40-some years. I did not tell him for 6 months where I was going every Monday night. He knew I was taking a class with a girlfriend, but, you know, I was afraid he'd think I was crazy.
Yeah.
And I was still processing it myself.
Well, it sounds kind of fascinating. And when you say you were taking a class, she's in Vermont, the one you were taking the class from, is that right?
In New Hampshire.
You're in New Hampshire, all right. So you were doing this virtually, I guess, on your computer, right?
No, I lived in New Hampshire at the time.
Oh, you did?
I just moved several months ago down south.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was going to tell everybody you're based in Greensboro, North Carolina. Well, I did say that.
Yep.
Okay, but
and
anyway,
that's
where you were
I am
in New
now.
So you were close enough to visit this person, you know, that psychic and the medium in person and see what it was like. That's really
right.
Kind of unique. What's interesting is you do this on the telephone. You don't have to have people come into your office or your home to
nope.
do this.
Nope.
Right.
I do it over the phone, and actually sometimes it's easier because the person I'm talking to knows I'm not reacting to any of their body language or expressions or reactions. You know, it's kind of a purer line.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting because you believe in this. I mean, you've interviewed psychics before, and then obviously you said you had a reading by a psychic, and it amazed you, right? You came away kind of stunned by what you learned. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I never imagined I could do it.
You didn't go out into that reading wanting to do this. You wanted to learn, and when you came out, you realized you had the ability to do it. That's totally amazing. So let's talk about what it is when you're working as a medium, contacting someone on the other side. Let me first off, you communicate with them. Is there someone on the other side that you're working with who communicates through you, who uses your body and your voice, but it's them speaking through you? Is that why it works with you?
Not that I'm aware of, and not right now. I mean, I believe we all have spirit guides, we all have guardian angels, and some
right.
people do channel information
exactly.
from a spirit guide. But
exactly.
I am a conduit between someone on the other side and the what we call the sitter, the person that I'm doing the reading for. So I just kind of get messages from this person. And, you know, of course, people who have passed on and what I believe is heaven, called heaven in the afterlife,
mm-hmm.
they don't have their bodies anymore. But I see them either as they were, you know, before they died, or sometimes I see them when they're a lot younger, so I can describe them to the sitter, because otherwise nobody would know who I was talking about, right? They have to be recognizable.
Exactly.
So I see them in their physical form. And
when you're communicating with them, are you aware of what, you know, what you're repeating, I guess, what they say to you? Would that be, or are they using you as a vessel?
Right. I'm repeating
that.
What they say, or I am saying what I see. That's the basic. I say
okay.
what I see. And so I say, I'm seeing this, you know, this woman is coming forward and she looks like this and that and the other. And I asked the sitter, does this make sense to you? Can you understand someone like this? That kind of thing. And we're off and running. And then sometimes they have.
And then the sitter would ask you, ask my mother, if it's a mother, say, ask my mother thus and such a question. And you would ask her, right?
I can do that. The they don't always, someone at, you know, going to a mediumship reading, we say, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Okay.
So that's our little, you know, wishy-washy way of saying, I may not get a direct message to you, or she may not answer your question. And sometimes they do in kind of funny ways, too. It's entertaining at the same time.
And you're obviously very aware of what they're saying. You're totally
yes.
aware. Yeah, you're hearing all of this. All right. The other key question is, how do you go about contacting someone on the other side? What's the method?
Before every reading, and this is why I can't on the fly give a reading for someone who might call in, for instance, and I hope the phone lines don't go dead.
Well, as I said, there are a number of folks on the line that I think they would like to talk to you, but Mary Ellen's not going to take a phone call today, folks.
In terms of a reading, I kind of prepare myself. I say prayers and to my guardian angels and my spirit guide, and I set an intention that whatever or whoever I bring through for my sitter and whatever evidence I present, which is the whole point, you know, you got to have some kind of evidence that means something to the person. Whatever evidence I present is for the best and highest good of my sitter, of the person getting the reading. And so I do that, and usually we start talking. Sometimes they'll say, well, I want to talk to so-and-so, and sometimes you say, we'll see who drops in. And so sometimes they may not get the person that they want. Sometimes we connect with a person, and I'll say, I have a mother figure, and I'm describing this person, and suddenly the mother's two sisters who have passed show up, and we got a party going on. And sometimes I have to tell people, you know, please step back. I need to speak with so-and-so. And it's really, it's very satisfying because people, you know, get comfort from it. Parents are relieved to learn that when their child died, there was no pain, for example, or that nothing anybody could have done would have prevented a tragedy. But most of the evidence I get is by seeing things. And this is something I had to learn as a baby medium, to see what you say, because sometimes you get things wrong. Once I had this fellow, and I believe I had his brother in spirit, and he asked me, okay, show me where my brother lived. And I'm describing this street with houses, and behind the houses I'm seeing this line. And then I suddenly hear the word fly. And so I decide that line must be a stream running behind the houses or a little river, right? What else would be like a line behind the houses? And so he said, I get the word fly. I picture him fly fishing. And I tell the brother, oh, I see this is what he liked to do behind his house. He would go fly fishing. But I was totally wrong. What I should have said was, I see these houses, I see this line, you know, I get the word fly. It turned out the line that I was seeing was an airstrip. And this was one of those neighborhoods in Florida where people had their own little private planes out back, and they went off an airstrip. So, again, I have to just see what I say. And when I'm right on, you know, I get goosebumps.
What have you learned about life on the other side that you could tell us? Have you got a kind of idea of what it's like?
Yeah, I know that people, it's like a family reunion, and people are there to greet you. Someone once said recently in a reading, and this was not a reading with me, but he said, don't be in a rush to get here, but it's really nice. So people are there, their pets are there. But the one thing I have realized, not from the other side per se, but being a medium here on this earth, is that, you know, so many people are struggling in their life, and you have no idea what people are going through. And so this, I believe, is making me a better person, because I realize you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what's behind their behavior or actions. So give them the benefit of the doubt and be kind whenever possible. And, of course, a Buddhist would say it's always possible.
Exactly.
I'm not always successful at this myself, but I am a lot less judgy than I used to be. You know, I realize that people are going through things that we have no idea, people you pass in the street or in the store. And I really feel it's a sacred trust that through mediumship I can give people comfort and hope in the middle of their struggles or their grief. But really, death is a joyful reunion on the other side.
I was going to ask you, what kind of reaction generally do you get from someone who's gone through a session with you and has successfully communicated with someone they really wanted to?
It's very satisfying. It's very gratifying to me. And actually, you can go to my website, heavenlyvisitors.com, and see reviews of what people said. You know, they don't give details. It's just their first name and their last initial. But it's such a wonderful feeling.
I have to ask you also about the ability to communicate with animals, with pets. Talk about that a little bit. You know, so many of us have pets
that
we've loved and adored and that we've lost, and it's been such a tough experience to go through. How does that work?
We really do. Our pets, I actually have a blog post on my website about all dogs and cats go to heaven. We really will see our animal companions in heaven, and I think it wouldn't be heaven without them. I was able to give one woman evidence of this when, during a reading, I explained how her late husband, I'll call him Joe, I saw him standing behind her when she was in her favorite chair. And as I saw him, he was stroking her hair, which is something he would do when alive, when he would go by her. He would, you know, stroke her on the head. And so I asked her, I said, do you ever feel Joe's presence? And she said, no, but the dog does. He sits up and stares. And then I said, you have two dogs, because I'm seeing another golden retriever. And she said,
right.
No, just one. And at this point, I'm seeing Joe standing off to my left with another dog beside him. And I go, you know, Joe is showing me another dog. And there's a brief pause, and then she gasped. She said, oh, we buried the other dog's ashes with Joe. That still gives me goosebumps to think about. And so there he was up there with Joe. And then there a dog was not in spirit, but that I communicated with, and there are reviews of people whose animals I communicated with on the website. The dog named Monroe, who was surrendered to a shelter because he suddenly would get aggressive and barking toward his owner. And a shelter volunteer who knew me reached out to me. I said, send me a picture of him and let's see what I get. So, you know, I got the picture electronically, and I tuned into him. And the first things I got was him saying to me, communicating to me, why am I alone? I feel unloved, unwanted. and I felt that this animal was so profoundly sad. I felt that he wants to please, but he doesn't know how. He's very tired. There is something going on between his eyesight and his head, and his stomach hurts. I got that he startles very easily and needs a quiet home. And then this was directly from him. Don't shout at me. Don't expect too much too soon. One thing at a time, please. I feel older than I am. Well, it turned out when he was examined by a vet, he did have a wound on his stomach because the woman who had him would kick him in the stomach when he would get aggressive. But he continued this occasional very aggressive sudden behavior in the shelter, and so they had to take him to a neurological vet who did more tests, and it turned out he was having small seizures. So like a petite mal seizure in a human, he would kind of black out, zone out for a little bit, and then as he came to, that's when he would start barking and growling. And of course, he didn't know what was going on. That was just his reaction. And last I heard, one of the trainers at the shelter was taking him home and they were going to try medication for his seizures. So yeah, I know people who have horses, you know, communicate with their animals. Cats might be a little snarky to communicate with because that's just cats.
Yeah.
But this is kind of part of the fun aspect of doing it.
You must be amazed by this ability you have come across. By the way, you say you didn't tell your husband for 6 months what you were up to. How did he respond when he found out what you're doing?
You know, they say if you want to talk to a teenager or have a tricky conversation, you do it in the car. And
yeah,
at the time, we were traveling to visit my elderly dad, and so we were in the car. I knew we would be in the car for more than 6 hours. And I was driving. So that's when we started talking about it. And he didn't freak out or anything. And he's been totally supportive, especially, you know, once I decided to go pro and go public and start doing it. So he's fine. And actually, my dad, who is 97 now, I talked to him about this. And he's getting little nudges from my mom all the time, and so it doesn't seem that odd to him. But he's still fascinated by it, too. You know, he wants to know if the people I see, do they look like ghosts? Can I see through them? No, I just see the person.
Did your dad think yet with some kind of weird, this is my daughter talking to me, telling me she's doing this? What did he think?
You know, he was kind of open to it, and I think it is because he does still feel my late mom's presence around him. And also, you know, my family's Irish. There's a lot of Irish Catholic stuff, a lot of mystical stuff in there, so maybe that's part of it, too. They're a little more accepting.
It's such a fascinating subject. We're talking to Mary Ellen Hettinger. She's based now in Greensboro, North Carolina. She's a really amazing website. I encourage you to go there and look at it if you're interested in this subject at all. How can you not be interested in it? It's heavenlyvisitors.com. Pretty simple, heavenlyvisitors.com. And as Mary Ellen said, there are a lot of reviews there of people who have had readings or contacted people on the other side or pets. I find the pets kind of really amazing because, you know, you communicate with a person, you can talk, and maybe a person on the other side can talk back in words. But an animal, they don't communicate in words. It's feelings and emotions, you know, you get from animals and looks and things like that. So again, I find it, what about you? Have you communicated with a pet of yours on the other side?
Actually, I went, one of the articles I was doing back when as a reporter, I found a couple of animal communicators, and I was so fascinated, I asked them to communicate with my dog at the time. And I thought that was fascinating. The dog can be sleeping okay? The dog's in so many states away or whatever, but you can do that. But I have seen some signs, and I do have a blog post about seeing signs on my website. And spoiler alert, if you think you're seeing a sign from someone or an animal on the other side, you are. But, for instance, we had this one dog who passed on, and she liked to jump up on our bed, and I had this beautiful coverlet that I loved. So I started piling books on it when we go to work every day. Well, she would still jump up. So then I put something that would roll off and make noise. Now she would still jump up. So finally we just put a sheet over it and, you know, knew she was spending half her day probably on that bed. Well, after she died, you know, I would make the bed every day, and sometimes I would come home from work in the evening and, you know, the coverlet had been all nice and smooth in the morning, and in the evening I would see the indent of her 40-pound body on the bed. Some little sign there.
I was going to say spooky, but no, it's amazing.
Yep.
It is. It's kind of amazing that she was there, even though she's gone.
Yeah,
boy,
just,
oh boy.
You know, give me a little nudge.
Yeah, this is amazing. So in any event, you do this now for folks. They can call you from wherever. And you can commute. What about the blog you're working on? Tell me about this is something you do daily or what?
Oh, no, not that often. But I have several on the website, and then I am working on one about how to detect the fraud. For instance, you know, if you ever... You know, the old-fashioned fortune teller with the neon sign and the crystal ball. There are ones, if you ever go to have a reading or, psychic reading, want to have your cards read, and the person is telling you that you are cursed or there is a curse on your money, something like this, just run in the opposite direction. You will never get a message from a spirit guide, your guardian angel, or someone on the other side through a reading that is negative or frightening or threatening, that will never happen. So, you know, this is someone who is just trying to collect your money, and they'll ask you to bring in, you know, $50 bills, and they'll clear them, and, you know, of course, then you're out of that money because anyway, they're just bunco artists. So that's one thing, and especially these days, the danger of that is giving them any information, identity theft. They could steal your identity, which is a major nightmare for when that happens. So that's one blog I'm working on. I want to give people a warning about that.
That is such great advice. Well, look, we have run through this half hour just like that. Mary Ellen, it's been great chatting with you. I encourage anybody who's has any kind of interest in this or wants to learn more to get in touch with you. And it's easy to do. Your website, which is a really great website, is heavenlyvisitors.com. And that's where folks would go to arrange and set up a direct, you know, schedule to call you, talk to you, communicate with you, and have a reading done, right?
Yes, and you know what? I should say that I never see anybody's credit cards. It's all secure software, and that I have been vetted by a retired detective who was a skeptic and learned to work with mediums at Bob Olson's Psychic Directory.
Mary Ellen, thank you so much. We're out of time. I've loved having you as a guest. Hope we can do it again sometime. Take care. Have a great day. Bye for now.
Thank you, Doug. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care. Bye for now.